Hey, folks, thanks for joining me today. On this podcast, my guest is Dr. Martin Moore Eade. He's known as the Light Doctor. We're going to talk about the effects of blue light and how it has an effect on your body, mentally and physically, and some hormonal changes if you're not getting enough or maybe you're getting too much of the blue light. Now, this is all about the circadian rhythm. So that includes sleep and how blue light and how artificial light can affect that. Also, stay tuned to the very end where we kind of talk about the discoveries in the psychiatric wards as far as light and direction goes. And remember, if you are a pet owner, please be responsible and have your pets spayed or neutered. All right, if you're ready, let's get into it.
What if someone told you that you could learn the secret to happiness or success? Maybe you have an interest in mental health or the unknown, or even the desire to communicate with the dead. These are the real stories and encounters from the real people. And here's your host, Chuck Tuck.
I spent a career studying the effect of light on health.
That's the interesting thing, the light on health. And I would imagine it's changed over the years, over the past 20 years or so, because of the LED lights and things like that we're starting to get. But also, it affects our circadian rhythm. So I was wondering if you could really tell us a little bit about the circadian rhythm. Is it different for people? Is there kind of an actual rhythm that we fall into?
Yes. Circadian rhythms are the changes in the body that occur regularly over the course of each 24 hours. So the most obvious one is sleep and wake is a circadian rhythm. We have a circadian rhythm of sleep where we tend, most of us, to sleep during the nighttime hours and be awake during the day. But body temperature rises during the day and falls during the night. But other things like certain hormones peak, for example, at different times. For example, growth hormone peaks early in the night. Melatonin peaks in the middle of the night. Cortisol peaks towards the end of the night, just before dawn. So there's this whole rhythmic processes in the body, and virtually everything in the body has a circadian rhythm. And what we're learning is that those circadian rhythms are wonderful. They are timing mechanisms of our body. They're wonderful when we're in sync with the natural day and night. So our ancestors, before the invention of electric light, rarely had any problem. They had bright daylight and sunlight during the day. They had pitch black nights. And if they did have some light, it was a candlelight or a firelight, rather low intensity. And as we'll talk about a bit more, no blue. And that turns out to be the key issue. So when I started in this business, and by the way, just as sort of a background, I was got really interested in this when I was came out of medical school. I was a fresh young doctor. I was in a residency training program for surgery to become a surgeon. And I found myself working, as most of us do, these 36-hour-long shifts where I was working 36 hours on, 12 hours off, back in for 36. And when I was doing that, I was finding myself totally scrambled up in terms of my... And I was doing it under, by the way, in retrospect, as I realized, under bright, blue-rich fluorescent lights in the hospital. And my sleep patterns were disrupted. I was fatigued. I was so tired, I nodded off when I was in surgery with the retractor slipping. I was writing prescriptions. I couldn't make any sense of the next day. So it was just an experience. And I got so interested in that whole phenomenon. Why was it sometimes after many hours awake, I could be really alert, and other times after not so many hours awake, I could be really sleepy? And that turned out to be a sort of patterns of behavior that I said, look, there's more to this. So I took a detour out of being a surgeon. I applied and was accepted at the PhD program at Harvard Medical School to study these circadian rhythms and how they worked. And it was a brand new subject at the time. In fact, this was back in the 1970s. I was warned by senior professors that there was no career for a young scientist in this. This was just something to do with the Earth's rotation. No one had ever identified a clock anywhere that would control internal clock. It was all external, maybe electromagnetic radiation, but nothing real. And fortunately, I ignored them and went on. After I got my PhD, I went on then to become a professor at Harvard Medical School, led a lab there, and we were able to actually locate a circadian clock in the human brain called the suprachiasmatic nucleus. A long word, but we all call it the SCN for short, which is convenient. And that clock was linked to the eyes through a special bundle of nerves from the eyes back into this clock in the brain. And that clock was controlling the patterns of melatonin and cortisol and temperature and sleep and wake. And it was that clock that once we understood what it was doing, we started to see many medical disorders occurring with people's whose clocks were disrupted. So, and it turns out, and one of the early discoveries we made, was that there are many clocks in the body. Most cells in the body, most tissues, there are kidney clocks, there are liver clocks, there are all sorts of clocks in the body. And the problems occur, the ill health occurs, when all those clocks get out of sync with each other. So, and that's what we're doing in a nutshell in the modern world with our use of electric light and especially LED light, as we'll talk about in a moment.
Yeah, you know, there was a time that I do recall that, well, it wasn't so much the blue light, you know, the lighting manufacturers, the people at the stores and everything would say, well, you need to have daylight balanced light. So we need to get you in, you know, certain Kelvin range. So they're pushing that. But I also remember at the same time with the incandescent lights, where they're talking about soft light, you know, you want to have soft light in the night, in the evening. But like I said, it's not to say that the blue light is bad during the day. It's just the timing of when you have the blue light. Is that correct?
That's totally right. Yeah, it is. And just to complete the story I was telling, at the time we discovered the clock, we just thought any white light, any regular light was doing it. We just didn't have any sense at all that it was any part of the spectrum. So then the discovery occurred around the year 2000. Several key discoveries were made, one of which was that it looked as though it was down in the short wavelength end of the spectrum, in the blue end of the spectrum, where this effect was occurring. And it was much more sensitive to blue light in general than other. So it was actually, and that was really key to understand. The problem is that you mentioned the soft light and color temperature measured in Kelvin. And that's a description. So you have a very harsh white light. Sometimes those car headlights you see are like up at 6,000 Kelvin, you know, there's really harsh, really unpleasant light. And a more yellowy light might be down typically at 2,700 Kelvin or 3,000 Kelvin. And people said, oh, that's the solution. We'll just make the light softer. Well, the answer is that doesn't work with the LEDs, or that doesn't work with the standard LEDs, because they're all based on the same blue pump. And it so happens why LEDs are so popular, or at least have been pushed so hard in energy policies, is because they're very efficient at turning electricity into light. So you can turn electricity into light much more efficiently with an LED than you can an incandescent light bulb, the standard light bulbs we used to have up until August this year, when they were banned. They're banned finally, totally banned this year. Those incandescent lights only have about 4% blue. A typical LED has 15% or so blue, much, much more blue in it. And so the color temperature, unfortunately, is a rather weak predictor. In fact, we've been able to show, as others have, that you can have a broad range of, you know, I can give you light at the same color temperature that has got 2% blue and light that's got 20% blue at that same Kelvin number. So it's actually, and that's one of the mistakes people make, and it's almost a placebo. People say, well, you put a low Kelvin light in and that's the solution. So the answer is no, not really. What you've got to actually look at the blue. And one of the key discoveries we made in the last few years was to find out that the blue that we're talking about is a wide range of color. you think violet type blues, you have royal blues, you have indigos and all that sort of things. You have sky blues, you have aqua blues. There's a wide range of blues, as any interior decorator will tell you, right? And so in reality, it's the sky blue color that matters. And we were able to show that it's a narrow part of the blue part of the spectrum, peaking around what's known as 480 nanometers. So color, you know, the colors we see from violet, it's around 400 nanometers up to red, which is about 700 odd and plus nanometers. So 400 to 700 is the range of wavelengths. And in that range, about 480 is this key point where that light is triggering a particular pigment in the back of our eyes, a photopigment called melanopsin, that is the daylight detector in our eyes. It's the thing that detects whether it's light outside or it's dark outside. And that signal goes to the clock, the suprachiasmatic nucleus, the SCN, and in turn that goes to the pineal gland that produces melatonin. And melatonin is a hormone perfusing through all the cells of the body that is the darkness hormone. It's not a sleep hormone. It's a hormone that tells us that it's dark outside, and it's what normally keeps us all in sync. The trouble is the LEDs, many of these LEDs, suppress that melatonin, activate the clock, and really disrupt our circadian rhythms. And that now has been shown and linked to a wide range of health problems, from obesity to diabetes to heart disease to breast cancer and prostate cancer in men. So it's a huge problem. And the data is very clear now that these LED lights, when used in the evening or at night, are doing it. But during the day, you want to see that blue. So yeah, during the day, it's fine to have a rich blue light.
I want to put you on hold for 1 second, not hold, but pause for a second there, because I don't want people to think that blue light is bad and it causes all these diseases in you. It's not the light that causes the disease. It's because it messes up your circadian rhythm. And oftentimes, like you were saying, if you have these lights at night, it messes up with sleep, and sleep is important. So that's what causes the health problems, not the light itself.
It is the blue light causing it, but it's the timing of the blue light, right? Blue light is neither good nor bad. Blue light is good. You want to see as much in the daylight, in the daytime. In fact, I recommend everyone in the morning hours get outside in bright, rich daylight, which is full of blue, that you need to see as much blue as possible during the day, particularly the morning part of the day. That really synchronizes our clock. That same signal, which says to the body it's daytime, wake up, right? You do not want to have that in the evening. So blue is not bad or good, but it's the timing of when you see blue is the key to what matters. And so that's the problem, what we're screwing up, because if we use light bulbs that have got blue in them and have them switched on day and night, we are totally taking away the clues that Mother Nature normally relies on to keep us synchronized to day and night.
Yeah. And like you're saying, at the top of the hour, our ancestors, you know, long ago, before we had electricity, their circadian rhythm was in sync because of the fact that when it was sunlight, they were out, they were hunting, they were gathering, they were doing all that. When it became dark and nighttime, if there wasn't a candlelight or fire, their bodies knew it's time to sleep, time to rest. And now we don't, because we have light whenever we want.
That's exactly right. We've got... the flick of a switch, we don't think about it at all. The flick of a switch, instant light available to us. And we like to sort of light up our surroundings and make them look attractive. And, you know, we'd like to be able to do everything we want to do. The trouble is you need to be careful about the lights you choose, because there are, and what you really need to get down to the solution. The solution is you can have lights that've got no blue in them, none of that critical blue. Zero blue lights in the evenings, and you can see perfectly and all the rest, and the same sort of color lighting as you normally would have, but there's none of that critical signal there. Whereas the light during the morning hours or the daytime should be rich in that blue. So it's basically, and it's what's called spectral engineering. I talked about the color rainbow, color spectrum. And sometimes I think, maybe just a quick aside, Chuck, people don't quite think about light. They say, well, look, the light I see, it's sort of, you know, yellowish white type of light, sunlight, you know, candlelight, whatever. It's light, right? What they don't realize, there's no real thing as white light. It is. White light is how our brain interprets the broad color spectrum. We only see it when there's a rainbow in the sky, when the diffraction in the raindrops and the clouds separate out the colors. We see it if the sun shaft of sunlight comes into our room and it hits a crystal vase or something and it spreads a beautiful pattern on the wall. That's what actually our eyes are seeing. And what's critical to realize for health is every color in that spectrum has a different effect on health. So just to take your way through it, down in the violet range, it's antibacterial. It actually kills bacteria. In some of the blue colors are colors that will actually help reverse jaundice in a newborn baby. That blue will actually break down the bilirubin that accumulates in a premature baby. The sky blue color at 480 is a color that synchronizes our circadian clock or disrupts it at night. If we look at green wavelengths actually reduce pain. They're like an analgesic. And so someone with migraines, they're treating migraine with green light now. When we get up into the red part of the spectrum, that's involved in healing. And also in the infrared part of the spectrum, we've got healing effects, which also penetrate into our bodies, up in that part of it, not just through the eyes. But hair growth, for example, you know these devices where you can shine red light on people's top of their heads, men who get a little bald. It is a treatment because it enables more hair growth. So every part of that spectrum is critical to health. And the beauty about daylight and sunlight is we get everything in lots of profusion of every color of the spectrum in daylight. And that's why it's so healthy. Indoors, we can't tolerate really bright light. Indoors, instead of it being 50,000 lux, at most we have 50 lux of light. So it's a hundredfold or more difference between being outside and in that. And in that light, there's not enough energy in those different colors to have these beneficial effects. So it's really interesting. We're just learning how to treat people, what's healthy about light, what's unhealthy about light. And it's all to do with the spectral engineering, which is, by the way, LEDs technology doesn't have to be blue pump. LED is a technology you can design your own light to specifically what you want. And that light, you can make every part of the spectrum and you can emphasize one part versus another part in order to get a different medical effect. So that's the beauty of it. It's a very pliable technology. The trouble is your cheap LEDs, there are mass-produced LEDs out in the market, are typically these ones that are just pumping out blue light, which is harmful during the nighttime hours, but can help you during the day.
So guys like me, I as an example, I went to bed at 3:30 this morning. I woke up at 7:30. I'm typically on a 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. and get up anywhere between 6 a.m. and 7:30. I've been doing that for 50 years, I mean, literally for that many years. I know it's throwing my body off, but I started buying my LED lights, changing everything out. And I want to ask you, am I fooling myself by thinking I'm buying these lights that allow me to change the color or the, you know, it says the wavelength during the day? In fact, one of mine has a program where it goes with the weather condition. It's bright. It's the daylight white during the day, and as it gets later in the evening, it automatically dims down to a warmer light, if we want to call it that. Am I fooling myself saying, okay, this is going to help me, you know, become rested?
Well, Chuck, that's a pretty short sleep pattern. You're telling me you sleep, what, 3 or 4 hours a night?
Now, question. Yeah.
Okay. So if it works for you, great. All right. One of the things about sleep is, you know, there are people out there, particularly promulgated by the pharmaceutical industry, wants to sell you sleeping pills. Everyone needs 8 hours sleep a night. That's not true. Some people need less hours, you know, can do with far less sleep. Others need, some need five, some need 9 hours of sleep. The key is, I haven't seen you nod off during this podcast yet. So hopefully, you know, but if you're if there's not an effect of having too little sleep, if you're not fatigued all the time, you're not falling asleep behind the wheel when you drive, for example, or nodding off in the middle of a conversation, or nodding off, you know, in an inappropriate situation, then yeah, that's fine. What works for you? The issue is we can adjust that if you want, because what we can do is use this blue content to shift. So if you, and there are several ways of doing it. Number one, using zero blue light in the evenings. So it's still white light, but it's got no blue in it. You can use blue blocking glasses, but they have to be, most blue blocking glasses that you buy in the stores and online are actually totally useless because they block the wrong blue. But there are the ones, and so the ones that you can look very faintly tinted are usually not effective at all. You've got to have something that's really an orange-yellow tint, because then it is blocking this blue color that we're talking about. But you can use glasses, or you can use zero blue light. At the other end, you can give yourself a doses of extra blue in the morning hours and wake yourself up with that. So you can, in fact, shift. We can shift your clock to where you want to be. Now, if it's worked for you for 40 years, I don't think I would advise messing with it. That doesn't make sense to me.
What I will say, though, is it for me personally, it's a bad habit of just staying up late. But I do know health-wise that it's not good for you to stay, you know, to get such a little sleep. And the older I'm getting, I can tell. And kind of to answer the question that you kind of posed is, as long as I'm doing something and my brain is functioning, I'm okay. But once I stop, if I just sit there for a moment, I do feel the effects of being very exhausted and tired.
Yeah. So that's why I was wondering. You probably do need, yeah, it would be surprising to me that you could manage with that little sleep. And I think, you know, we can adjust you, because we can nudge you to any point. If we get you blue light, there are various ways of doing it in the morning. And if we get you no blue light in the evening, we can adjust your pattern for you to where you want to be. So it's a very, very powerful, potent thing. But the key thing, it's not the color of the light that matters, or the softness or the warmness of the light that matters. That's pretty much a placebo effect. It is what the actual blue content is. And so, you know, we have a way of saying, there's a way of measuring it, which says, any manufacturer, by the way, should be able to give you what's called the spectral power distribution of the light. In other words, how much energy is there in all those colors of the rainbow, right? Proportionately. What percentages where? If lights that are very effective at are the wavelengths we care about is between 440 and 495 in the blue, and we want to know how much of the total light is in that part of the spectrum. Is it less than 2%? Then it's good for use in the evening. If it's more than 20%, it's good for use in the morning. It's a question of the percentage of that light that is actually that blue that matters. And that's really the basic advice. And so we're trying to get manufacturers to be more communicative about how much their spectral power distributions. It can also measure it by, you know, there are devices that just very simply you can take and you can point. It's about the size of a cell phone, point, click, and I've instantly got your spectral power distribution. So those are, you know, devices you can measure it with. Most people don't have these unless you're in the trade. But essentially that's the key, knowing how much blue there is. But with that blue, it is interestingly at least 25 times more potent to use a blue than it is to use regular white light. It's so much energy is in that blue in terms of its effect.
Wow. And I also want to make sure that people know that they could get more of this information that you're talking about and about yourself at your website, thelightdoctor.com. Because I think this is definitely very, very important. And what about books? Can they pick up any books?
Yes, absolutely. This year I've published a book for the general audience to explain this, because it's so important for people to understand in lay terms, right? I've written a book called The Light Doctor, and The Light Doctor, I've released it on Substack. So you can go on for free on Substack and look at The Light Doctor. It'll be coming out in a printed form next year, but as I say, I initially started out on Substack issuing a chapter every 2 weeks, and that's what I've been doing. And I just encourage anybody to look at The Light Doctor on Substack, and you could just, if you search it, or if you go to my white website, The Light Doctor, there it is. You can just click on it. And it's a book that really explains all this, explains the healthy parts of life, explains the problem, explains how the solutions and where you can find lights that solve these problems for you. So yes, it's all there on my book, The Light Doctor.
Well, what I want to add too is if there are people who are listening or watching that really don't believe that this, you know, the light or the wavelength, the blue light has an effect, think about how many people that you know that complain about, you know, setting the clocks back and moving them forward and things like that. It's changing the time of the daylight that the light is available, and it messes people up. That's how I think about it. And it doesn't mess me up. I'm up all the time. But, you know, there are people that say it's too dark in the morning or it's too bright in the morning and it's messing me up. So, again, I just want to say that if you don't think or believe that this the light or the blue light, daylight has an effect on you, it does. It really does.
Well, you know, one of the things I think also with that is, if first of all, you're doing, when you shift, have daylight savings time, you're shifting the whole population. Millions and millions of people are being shifted. And so, and traffic accidents go up, and heart attacks go up. All the sort of things happen in that week. But actually, what's even more interesting is if you compare people who live just west of a time zone line versus just east. They might only be 10 miles away from each other, right? But they're either side of that line. When you're in a time zone, there's quite a lot of difference. There's an hour or more difference sometimes between when the sun arises on the east side of a time zone versus the west end of a time zone. So for example, if you out in Boston, we're near the east end of the eastern time zone. You know, if you're in Detroit, you're closer to the west end of the same time zone, the eastern time zone. The health of people at the west end of a time zone, in other words, who are most out of sync, is far worse. That more cancers, more heart disease, more diabetes. Just, and all it takes you is to move 10 miles to the other side, over into the next county, where you're now in the central time instead of eastern time, for example, to suddenly be much healthier. That's staggering, how important light is.
That is. Well, that blows my whole thing about where I'm going to retire. I better. But it's unbelievable how light plays into our health. And, you know, I do understand what you're saying about trying to get as much of that that sky, that blue sky blue type of lighting in the morning, and it does wake you up. You know, again, with my little LED things that I have, there are the different, can I just call it wavelength in blue? I was using one, you know, just white. And there is a difference between that and my daylight white. And I feel better and more awake when I use my daylight white coloring. And it's relatively bright. And I do that first thing in the morning in my living room.
Well, you know, give you another little story, because just the science is so amazing. And what's really remarkable to me is how little this is known outside the scientific community. The scientists all know this, right? Now, the science is very solid. There are thousands of scientists around the world who are fully aware of this and the importance of this. But their neighbors, i.e. non-scientists, don't have a clue about it. But let me give you a couple of things that you would never think about. If you take people who are depressed or have got, you know, other mental conditions, and they're so, you know, depressed, they're admitted to hospital, to a psychiatric hospital, and you go to a psychiatric hospital where half the rooms are facing one side of the corridor, all facing southeast, so they all see the rising sun. And the other side of the corridor, all the rooms are facing northwest. Would you believe, and it's been demonstrated several times, the people, the psychiatric people with psychiatric conditions and mental illness, who are admitted to hospital with the same doctors and the same drugs and the same treatment, get out in half the time when they are in the rooms where they're getting sunlight in the mornings streaming into the rooms. Staggering fact.
You know, I believe that because I remember 20 plus years ago, the big thing was if you're depressed, there's that light therapy and they would just shine the light in your face or whatever it is to give you that daylight and that warmth. So that doesn't surprise me, but right. It surprises me that they don't use that to the hospital's advantage and for the patients to put them in those rooms with the windows facing that sunrise.
Well, my mission and what I why I'm writing The Light Doctor and getting out and talking to folks like you, Chuck, and has talked to anybody about it, is to get the word out, because there's such little awareness of this, and yet the solutions are available. The light bulbs and lights that actually solve these problems are now readily available. You know, one site you can go to is the Sora store, S-O-R-A-A store. And there are lights that are zero blue that you can buy and all the rest of it. And, you know, there are more lights coming out that will change automatically early next year between the morning and the evening. All those are available. But people just don't know this. And so my mission with The Light Doctor is to bring awareness to people of the fundamental fact that the light you see is as important to your health as the food you eat, as the water you drink, as the air you breathe. People just don't realize that. And what's more, it's pretty simple to fix. So, you know, we've got breast cancer rates in women and prostate cancer in men that are, you know, 50% or more higher in people exposed to blue rich light at night, right? That's 50% higher. We see nurses on the night shift. We see people working night shifts or whatever getting cancer at much higher rates. We see that people who are, and another amazing statistic that, you know, along the way, is that 40 to 50% of the population sleeps with their lights on at night in the bedroom. They sleep with the lights on, whether it's TV and other lights in the bedroom.
40%?
40 to 50%, yeah. Now, and those people get obesity and diabetes at twice the rate, and heart disease at twice the rate, particularly in the elderly, right? Another thing is, a lot of data now coming out is that people who spend a lot of time outside in the daytime, get a lot of good amount of daylight, live much longer, years longer, than people who spend all their time indoors. Big studies, 29,000 people in Sweden being studied, you know, and how much light do they see. And then there's a big study with 88,000 people in England showing that people who are exposed to light during the evening hours, you know, a lot of light during the evening hours and at night, are dying faster, much faster, you know. So you take a group of, you know, 30% faster, it's in a group of 60-year-olds die 30% faster when they have the lights on at night, as opposed to being with zero blue or in dim light at night. Huge, huge effects. And this data is just pouring out right now. And yet it's so simple. And it's like, you know, unlike other causes of environmental pollutants and whatever, you know, blue light at night is an environmental pollutant. It's not during the day, right? It's so easy to change. Change the light bulb. Solve the problem. And you've instantly solved the problem.
All right, so I'm going to ask you this, because I'm going to generalize and say majority of the people, or many people in North America, are cheap, conscious about their money. And they'll go, well, I've already got my light bulbs. I don't want to spend any more money and buy something different.
Yeah.
Does it help by saying, okay, on the average, we'll say that if you have a slider or dimmer, say at 7 p.m., you bring it down halfway and just slowly start dimming the lights, would that have any effect? Would that help? Or it really depends, like you said, the power, the wavelength of what that blue pump is really putting out? Or can they simply, will it help a little bit by dimming the lights or turning the lights off?
Yeah, well, dimming does certainly help, right? It certainly helps, right? So that, because it is the total amount of white blue that's coming in that matters, right? And so if the light's dim, then, if you dim the light by half the amount of blue is coming out. But you also want to get lights that don't have the much blue in the first place, right? You can do it, but and the combination is fine too. So yes, but when people are cheap, because we got spoiled. Light, these LED lights now got so cheap, they've become a commodity. You can buy them up for a buck or two in the stores, whatever. They're cheap stuff. And you say, well, okay, but on the other hand, if you're going to double the risk of having diabetes or weight gain, is going to make you fat, and you then go and buy Ozempic by your doctor, right? You get these new magical weight treatment drugs. Yes, that's $800 a month. So do you really want to spend $800 a month treating your diabetes, or do you want to spend 20 or 30 bucks preventing it? Come on now.
When you put it like that, it's just like, all right, we're all smart enough to know that it makes sense paying 20 or 30 instead of the, $600-$800 a month type of thing. So I want to throw out one more time for people who are watching and listening that they can go to your website, thelightdoctor.com. And again, there's a wealth of information here. You got talk about yourself. We got the upcoming book, your blog. There's a lot here, and it's well put together. And there certainly is a lot of information, far more than I would have thought about just blue light and health. I want to say thank you first for, what you're doing and trying to make all of us aware, and especially manufacturers and people out there like that, and businesses. I imagine you go to work, we're there 8, 9, 10, 12 hours a day, and it could be the wrong type of lighting.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's the other side of it. So, in my book, I talk about what you can do in the places you do control, like your own home. You've got choices. You could know what light bulbs. What do you do in the spaces you cannot control, right? Your workplace. And the answer is, I talk about how you can persuade and educate people to do it. We've put lights, healthy circadian lighting now in 65 Fortune 500 companies. Big effects in terms of improved sleep. People working shifts around the clock and so forth, they sleep better. They make fewer errors. So you're doing a critical job. Their sickness is absenteeism has gone down. Huge returns for the employer. So you've got to, what I like to say is when you're trying to convince other people, think about the WIFMs, the what's in it for me, in other words, for them. For them, for the employer, if you tell them the sickness, absenteeism goes down, productivity goes up, the morale of people has improved, the health has improved, that all turns into bottom line dollars. If you've got a sick, impaired workforce that's overweight because, by the way, the one fascinating thing about this blue light is it actually makes you hungry. People snack twice as much in the evenings and at night under blue rich light than under zero blue light. Amazing, right? We've shown that. It's crazy. And so it also messes with your insulin resistance and your pancreas and how it processes insulin. So I can put you in blue rich light at night and make you a pre-diabetic just in one night, a perfectly healthy person. So it's having huge effects on our body. And so I really encourage, the regularity of your sleep and wake cycle, sleeping in the dark, getting out in daylight, and be careful how you use electric light, because it's a wonderful invention, but it's an invention that has a real dark side to it if you don't use it properly.
I have a statement and a question, really, because some of these office buildings, warehouses, and things like that, if you pay attention, you look up and you see the lights, but you see one is they're different color. They don't mean to, so one might be a bright white kind of color, maybe more blue, and then the one that they put right next to it in that fluorescent tube, it's different color. My question, that's just my statement part, because I remember that in office buildings, is will it help if, you know, my place of employment, they want to, but they're not going to make the change of the light. Can I bring in my own little light source, put it on my desk? It's the correct color. Turn it on. Would that help me? I mean, because we say, I get so tired at work. Could that be your own type of light therapy, your little light that you have shining on your desk?
It certainly can. Yes, it certainly can. Okay. A good point. There are devices. So, for example, the Osyn Loop is one of them. There is a device from BIOS also lamps that produce the blue light that you could put in your desk and enhance indoors that daytime blue. Mm-hmm. They also switch off into light with very low blue in the evening hours. So in other words, that lamp will not give you that blue treatment in the evening when you don't want to see it. So there are certainly lamps available to do that. And that is a way you can for yourself. Another way in the evenings is you can use, say, the proper blue blocking glasses or filters on a screen, potentially, and get rid of that blue. Because another big source is you and I are talking into a computer screen, and that screen is pumping out the same blue. We've now got screens that are zero blue screens, or screens that during the nighttime hours are zero blue. They look pretty much the same. Would you believe that the manufacturers just pump out, just like they chump out cheap LEDs that are all blue, they push out these screens that are pumping blue at us also. It's also in our, in our devices and our cell phones and everything else, we're pumping out blue light. So all of those are the sort of things, sources of blue light. And, what we need to really manage is the whole total exposure. So your example of buildings, by the way, one of the things that I started getting into light and this, what do we do about it, was because so many of my clients came to me and said, look, we've got these reports, the World Health Organization and the NIH are telling us that, National Institutes of Health are telling us that, this is causing cancer in my employees and all the rest of it, but we've got to work it in the evenings at night. What do we do about it? And so obviously I've started to learn to look, I learned to always look up at the ceiling and figure out what lights are there. And you're quite right. They're different colors and different things. And that's because someone has replaced something at a different time and the lights fade out. They actually change color over time, some of these lights. But the point is you've really got to light the whole space, right? In other words, you've got to just having one light that is a healthy light and another one's unhealthy doesn't do you that much good. In the room I'm in, I have in the evening light that is zero blue. This light fixture behind me is, this LED light. That's got no blue in this one. And so my bedroom is lit with these lights or with, comparable floodlights and so forth that have no blue at all. And that's a technology based on these inventions I made over the last 10 years, identifying which blue and how do you control it and how do you make a light that looks attractive, a white light, but at the same time has no blue in it. So yes, it's very fixable, very addressable. You have to think about the total lighting environment. Where is all the light I'm seeing coming from? Because light is not just for vision. The big lesson we're learning is light is very much to do about your health. It's not just, we've always thought of light as so we can see what we're doing, so we can enjoy colors and decorations and those sort of things. But light is really critically about health too. And that's the thing that really has not sunk into most people's awareness. And that's what I'm trying to do in my book, The Light Doctor, on my website.
Well, I definitely say thank you on that. And that just, like I said, it has a lot to do with your health. So not just eating healthy, not just running around, getting exercise, light plays a big part into this health. And we all want to live a healthier longer life. We don't want to live a longer, not so healthy life. So
that's absolutely right.
Thank you very much again for all this information. And I'll make sure that I have some of the links in the show notes. You talked about SORA, I believe it was.
SORA, yes. SORAA.com. If you look at the SORA store, you can see some of these lights that are available, just as one example of a company that's actually producing them.
Okay. Yeah, I'll make sure I have that in the show notes. And again, thank you very much. This definitely has been very, very informative. You know, there are things that I thought I was doing right where I do now know that it may not be. You know, just because it's a white light doesn't mean it's the right light. Just because it's a dimmer light at night doesn't mean that there's not blue in there. So I will be paying more attention to what I buy as far as lights go.
Okay, very good. No, it's something everyone needs to know, Chuck. And so I'm delighted to give the opportunity to share with your audience.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.